This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. Earlier this year, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella said that Microsoft saw 2 years of digital transformation in 2 months due to the pandemic. Now, we all know digitalization has accelerated over the last few months, and it's also true in the banking sector.
Yeah, between physical distancing and lockdowns, the pandemic has accelerated the shift towards digital banking because the crisis has forced established banks to accelerate their digitalization efforts and potentially close off openings for new entrants in the industry.
So for an analysis on how the banking sector in the region has been impacted, we speak to Tama Fabian, Associate Director at Fitch Ratings. Tama, now there's little doubt that the pandemic has accelerated digitalization, and this includes digital banking. But do you have any data to quantify this?
Yeah, sure. So we have seen a significant increase in digital banking across the region. So if you take a look closer to home in ASEAN market, for example, Bank Central Asia in Indonesia reported close to around 60% year-on-year growth in mobile banking activity in the first half of 2020. In Singapore, where I think customers are able to open accounts without ever even going to get to a branch, some of the banks actually also reported a stark growth numbers, with OCBC registering 200% growth on consumer accounts being opened digitally, and 230% of growth in wealth transactions being done digitally. So I think, you know, if you look at Malaysian banks, that Malaysian banks haven't exactly reported their first half number, but we understand that there was also generally a rapid increase in digital banking adoption in months after the lockdown in the country, and as well as in many banks in the rest of the region.
So with all that in mind, are you seeing a greater and faster push towards full-fledged virtual banks?
So we think that the acceleration in digital adoption could definitely force the banks to revisit some of their cost structures, including determining what's the optimum level of their branch network that they need to service their target customers. But that being said, we don't really think that branches will completely disappear. Let's say, for example, DBS in India had attempted to grow their banking presence by going completely digital around like 3-4 years ago. But just last year, they actually announced that they are planning to open 100 physical touch points there. So I guess this goes to show you that they are likely to see some values in these branch networks, especially when servicing larger corporates or even some of the retail customers. So I guess similarly in this region, I think what will most likely happen is that we may see further shrinkages in physical networks. But for those that actually still remain, you know, a lot will be kind of revamped and catered to a higher value-adding service.
So who are the ASEAN front runners when it comes to virtual banks then?
So among some of those that have been reported in terms of all the aspiring digital lenders, we see the large technology players, such as those owned by or backed by, let's say, the likes of Tencent, China's Tencent and Alibaba, or virtual banks that are backed by, you know, deep-pocketed corporates. You know, in Singapore, you can probably referred to, let's say, the consortium of Grab and Singtel, as most likely to secure, you know, some of the upcoming digital bank licenses in the respective countries, and potentially pose a more serious threat to the incumbents in the medium term. This view, you know, takes into account the fact that their strong brand recognition, which can be really helpful in building credibility. Their extensive customer base and a very high funding capacity to invest in the necessary technology and resources market shares. So virtual banks that cooperate with these large established tech players with complementing businesses such as e-commerce and messaging apps could also create business synergies that may give them, you know, some edge in the lending business.
Our regional fintech and tech players are a significant threat to ASEAN's biggest banking institutions like DBS and OCBC, Tama?
Yeah, so notwithstanding the fact that we see there is some potential pressure for the bank's profitability in the longer run, we believe that the threats posed by these new banks will be limited, at least in the near term. And this also takes into consideration of how, going back again to the question about, the pandemic, the economic crisis as a result of the pandemic, which has affected their main target segments, which are, the unbanked and the underserved, more disproportionately. So this implies that there is actually less opportunities for profitable lending for most of them. And I think moreover, many of the region's established players, such as, those that you mentioned, UBS and OCBC, have actually invested in their digital capabilities quite heavily in recent years, which should help them better compete with these upcoming neighbors.
Thank you for your time. That was Tama Fabian, Associate Director at Fitch Ratings, giving us his views on who might actually win this digital banking race. It looks like, for you to really, gain market share or even build any sustainable business model, you either have to have very, very deep financial pockets or have the backing of a technological giant, like, whether it be Alibaba or Tencent, and also have very, very strong branding. Ideally, all three. Otherwise, I think it would be very difficult to really compete currently with the brick-and-mortar champions out there.
Yeah, it's trust, isn't it? And what Tama was saying about DBS going kind of like almost like a U-turn on its fully digital aspirations by announcing 100 new touch points on the island state, I think it's very important, because what COVID has taught us is that the human touch is very important, right? You don't really have that human element when it comes to webinars and those virtual meetings. So by having those physical touch points, it allows the banks to use those physical touch points, not necessarily for branch banking like in the old days, but maybe for example, wealth management or affluent customer banking, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a combination of everything today in the banking world. But up next, we'll be speaking to Lim Wei Jet, constitutional lawyer on judicial review and the Sabah state elections. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.